Start in Numbers, then move to Psalms a whole bunch, and mostly be there around there. Little of Job, little of this. Start in Numbers, though. Got a little too much to preach tonight, and an area of it I'm not going to get to. Number 6, so we'll just see as the Lord leads where we get to. Kind of down my alley a little bit with what God's given me for a vision and a ministry and the way I see things. Number six, we'll start at verse 22. The Lord's going to tell Aaron and Moses how they're supposed to bless Israel and what the blessing they're supposed to say to them. And verse 22, it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I'll bless them. And so the blessing is, Lord bless thee and keep thee, and cause his face to shine upon thee, and lift up his countenance upon you. And that's a way where God's looking at you, and his countenance is shining upon you. And he's happy, and he's looking at you, and it's associated with blessing. God, the Lord, keep thee in blessing, cause his face to shine upon thee, and lift up his countenance upon you, and give thee peace. And so, God is looking at you with his countenance, and throughout the Bible, when God's countenance is shining upon you, and God's looking upon you, it's blessing. And it's good, and it's the glowing from the face of God and the blessing from the face of God that's upon you. But it's not always like that. Let's go to Job and book of Job and chapter 13. And do one verse here, then we'll jump over to Psalm. Psalm Job 13. In verse 23 and 24, how many are mine iniquities and my sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. That was the question, why, wherefore, hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thine enemy? It's a tough thing when you think God's holding you for your enemy to beat you up. And he says, why are you holding me for my enemy? Why are you hiding your face from me? Remember, we want the face of God shining down upon us, but why are you hiding your face from me, God? And then to go to Psalm chapter 13. Psalm 13. It says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? We're talking about when God hides his face. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about that. Lord, thank you for the chance to preach your word, Lord, and it's an honor. And Lord, sometimes I have so many thoughts and so much truth here and so much to say, Father, but you don't always have me to say everything that we're looking at, and we'll do it another week. Or I don't want to say too much, Father, but I also want to say everything you want me to say. It's your time, it's your message, it's your church, it's your word. We pray you control and speak, and may the Spirit of God fall fresh on me and say what you once said. Empower this message to help Christians to be honest and see what they need to see and do what we need to do, Father. And please speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. See, godly set of people here, and you saw Job, who is a very godly man, who God called perfect. When God calls you perfect, you're pretty good. And so God called Job perfect, and Joseph said, God, why hide your face from me? Now we're seeing David, and this is David even before he fell, saying, God, why are you hiding your face from me? A whole bunch of David's psalms are saying, God, why am I going through this? And he's hiding in caves and running from Saul and wondering why things are going so wrong. And he's saying, God, your face was shining on me when I was a shepherd, and your face was shining on me when I was fighting Goliath. But now your face is, why are you hiding your face from me? I'm seeking you, and I'm not we're not connected. I'm not seeing you. You're not shining. It's like we occasionally have here in Seattle when it's a sunny day and all of a sudden a cloud comes over and it gets dark all of a sudden. It does happen here occasionally, doesn't it? Daily, basically. And no, actually, we get sun breaks. And occasionally the sun comes out and we feel good. But that's what it's like. It's like the God's blessing and God's speaking to you and God's face is shining on you. And you know you and God are just high-fiving in the spirit realm. And that's in the Hebrew. And so you're excited and you and God are close. And then all of a sudden, you're like, hey, God. Hey, God. Hey, where are you? And then all of a sudden you're sinking, saying, Lord, hey, as I talked about last week, I got my prayer-proof roof is on over me here. I mean, the kryptonite of prayer has been surrounding me, and I'm in big trouble. And Lord, where are you? Why is your face not shining upon me? Why aren't it doesn't seem like you're answering my prayer. It doesn't seem like you're hearing me. It doesn't seem like I feel close to you. I don't feel your presence. I don't feel that glow and that joy. And Lord, you're hiding your face from me. And that's all over the Bible. Of people saying that. And he says it here. And we'll read some Psalms. Just watch the feeling here of why you're hiding your face. And it's personal and national both. And we'll say that for another message. But chapter 44. And the whole chapter. But we'll read just a few verses here. 44. 23. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? It's pretty strong language. It's pretty strong language to talk to God. Awake, wake up, God. Why are you sleeping? That's exactly what he just said. You say, I don't think he should have said that. I might not say it, but he did. And God included it in Scripture for us to see it. The Bible says, pour out your heart before him. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And I think we way too often don't want to live in spiritual reality. See, because we got a little bit of Christianity mixed with a little bit of Americanism where we always got to be positive. The Bible isn't always positive. God's not always positive. God sometimes says, face the truth. Think about this, realize this, catch on to this. I remember, I guess it's about 13, 14 years ago. It just seemed like as I don't listen to Christian radio, but as at that time, as I was listening to Christian radio, I was working graveyard and I needed something to keep me awake. And that doesn't always work. And I'd listen to radio and they were talking, they kept on talking about, we can just feel the fires of revival stirring across America. And I heard him trying to pump it up, and I'm going, I don't. And I'm not a negative person. But I didn't see. And by the way, who was right? Have you watched the news lately? We haven't had revival in America. Lee Robertson said, we haven't had revival in America since the television's gotten every home. Okay? We haven't had revival in America. And you say, they're supposed to be positive. Why? When God's not blessing, they're supposed to be positive? I think in the Bible, when God's not blessing, they fell on their face before God and said, woe are we. Not, let's just keep it positive, guys. Let's just sing an upbeat song and God will be with us. And just pump ourselves up. Well, maybe God's face isn't shining. We've got to figure out why. That's negative. Okay. Read Lamentations. There's some scripture, and it's not just Old Testament. I mean, realize that sometimes God's not blessing. Sometimes it's a problem. And they were very direct about it and very honest about it in the Bible. And I know there's people who are negative and think there's no hope and everything's going to be bad, and I call them Eeyore Christians, and that's the way they are. But God's not like that. There's hope. There's always hope. No matter what the condition is, I don't think we're trying to do that, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But they were saying, "Why are you sleeping on me, God? You are not awake because nothing's happening here, and I'm talking to you, and I don't think anything's happening here." He's very strong in the language here. So in 44, we started verse 23. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? And forget us our affliction and our oppression. For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth to the earth. That's heavy language. We're stuck on the ground in the dust. We're crawling on the ground. And I understand preaching this doesn't build a big church initially. But this kind of preaching brings revival. Because revival never happens till someone gets humble and serious and realizes a problem. I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to be unkind here. But Joel Osteen's preaching is never going to bring revival. I'm not here to attack him. He's a saved man, I'm sure. But I'm telling you, if it's all about, you have hope, you feel good, God's going to bless you and make good things happen. Everything's great. Everything's good. Everything's not great and good. Our nation's in trouble. Your life may be falling apart because you're a sin. It might not be because you didn't psych yourself up and say, I am a winner. That might not be why things aren't going great. I mean, you gotta get serious. God says how to do it. History of revival tells us how to do it. The Bible tells us how to do it. New Testament shows us how to do it. And it starts off with really seeing the truth about things. Psalm 77. Psalm 77. We'll just get the language here a little bit. Read how they're talking in the Bible. Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, and my soul ran to the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Wilt thou cast us off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah, saying, is God not going to be ever merciful again? And hard times. Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Verse 13. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul and hidest thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die. And so, it's pretty heavy. And pretty heavy there. It's all over the Bible. Just thinking how many verses I should read. Let me take you to Deuteronomy. And just show you Deuteronomy there. If you want to turn there, you can. It's all over the Bible. I won't take you to Isaiah. I won't take you to all the other verses I have. But just it's all over the Bible where people occasionally feel like this. And it's not just a feeling. It's a reality. In most cases. And this is a song of Moses, I believe, verse 18. Out of the rock that begats thee out, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten the God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children whom there's no faith. Forward is perverted. And you see, it's all with the Bible. And God said, I'm going to hide my face from you. And so sometimes we get so desperate, God's hidden his face for so long, that our lives are so wrecked and we're in so much trouble that we've got to get desperate and plead, God, I'm going to die if you don't shine your face on me again. And let's go to Psalm 143. We get desperate for God to work because we realize that if God doesn't do something soon, I'm a goner. And I'm desperate. Psalm 143. And Psalm 143, verse 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way and I should walk, for I lift my soul unto thee. He says, God, I got to have an answer. I've got to have you shine upon me. I've got to have you're blessing me and doing something right there. Let me just give you, as we see this is in the Bible, when you see God hides his face sometimes, we see God sometimes it gets dark. And sometimes the sun's not shining, the countenance of God is not on us. As we face that reality and see that, I think first of all, we just got to face the reality that sometimes God is not blessing. And sometimes it's because we don't deserve it. I've said for years, and I know it's in every church handbook that tells you how to build a church. This is not what you do, but I've told you many times, we do not have the power of God like we should. We're just mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead, we are. And if we compare ourselves to other churches, we're doing pretty good. I don't compare myself to other churches. I want to see what God wants. And when I see what God wants and what God, I believe, wants to do, I look at us and say, woe are we. We're not anywhere near what God wants us to be. We don't have the great power of God we see in the book of Acts. And so I believe that's important. I believe we've got to be honest about things. And not just say, I want to feel good and be positive. I like to feel good. I like to be positive. But not when God's not blessing. I'm not going to try to simulate the blessings of God. I'm not going to make a certain kind of music program and try to make things really feel good and try to just talk upbeat when God is not blessing. When God's blessing, we'll know it. And he does sometimes. But it's not because we stirred something up and try to make ourselves feel good and talked ourselves up and smiled in the mirror and said, you're a winner and you're the best you can be and does all that. That's not doesn't mean God's blessings upon you. It means you have mental problems. Okay, we need to be honest. And I have a vision in my mind of what New Testament Christianity looks like, and I've never quite seen it. Because it looks in the book of Acts a lot better than what I see. Now what I see is way better than the world. And way better than a lot of Christianity. And I've seen, and I've been in a few places a few times, and God's just done some work sometimes where I've said, God's face is shining on us. And that's great. But I don't see God shining mercy drops, some on us like he should. I don't see God shining his power and his light on me like I want. I certainly don't think God's face is shining on America today. And I think that when we see that, we can say, well, what's the deal? Why does this happen? Is God mad? Is God going to look away? Well, just I want to say just a statement here. There was a difference between God hiding his face and God setting his face against. It's a big difference. And again, we got so many verses, but Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, the Bible says that he that does these things, I will set my face against that man because I'm going to destroy him. And God used that thing, I'm setting my face against him. Yet God says, sometimes I hide my face from him. But you will find throughout the Bible when God is hiding his face, it is not always a punishment or to destroy you. Sometimes it's a test. Good example, Job. God hid his face from Job. And Job figured that out to a certain extent. And he said, you know, God, I'm doing everything. I'm trying to get your attention. And his friends are saying, it's because of your sin. Job said, it's not because of my sin. I don't know why it is. I don't understand why God's not blessed me. I don't see what he's hiding from me. I don't understand it. Now, we all know why because we have Job chapter 1. Job didn't know why. It was a test. And if while he was going through his sufferings, God's beaming glow was on him, it would have been a lot easier of a test. But you know what I found in my life? When it's time for trials for me, it seems like the devil's against me, and so is God. But God isn't against me. But see, understand this. The lack of the shining face of God upon you is like a terrible punishment once you've experienced it. When God isn't glowing towards you, when God's not pleased with you, when God's not shining and smiling down on you. See, there's certain children that you can try to discipline them all you want, and you have to basically beat the fire out of them to get them to obey you. There's other kids where you look at them and say, I'm very disappointed in you, and they go, they fall down and they're devastated. Oh, for more of those. And we see that. Why? Because they like their mommy or their daddy to be happy with them. How many of you were those sweet-spirited little kids who just, if their parents were disappointed with you, you were devastated? Boy, we got a rough bunch in here. And three of you. And the rest of you, you got beat. And none of my children. None of my children, was it? I got a couple of those. So they do it to one parent, usually. One parent is the one who has their heart all the way in. And does that, and if it's not, then I'll just beat him. And but we see that we, when God's face is not shining on us, I find it so small to care really how much people really are pleased and like me. That's just people change and get whims, and you know they just like you 1 minute, hate you the next. I mean, it's not a big deal. I mean, I don't like people not liking me, but I'll take all the people not liking me to God, feeling like God's not pleased and frowning on me. Yeah, and so you look up at God and you say, God, you're not shining on me. I don't feel your glow on me. I don't feel your pleasure on me, and I want that, and I'm devastated because of that. But sometimes it tries you because you're going through this trial, and it seems like God is not blessing you. Saul's following me, David says, and he's trying to kill me, and my enemies are trying to kill me, and God, you're hiding your face from me. Why? I'm going to be destroyed here. And so it's a test sometimes, and Job had that happen. And watch what Job says. Job 23, these are well-known verses, but watch how Job kind of sees the whole picture a little bit here. God's hiding from him. Job 23, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, I have not declined. And it's not the message here, but I want to say, notice Job didn't change when God was not shining on him. He didn't change. He says, I can't find God anywhere. I look here, I look there, I look this way, I look that way, God's not anywhere. But I'm being tried. I'm going to come forth as gold. God's hiding his face from me. And God's going like this and saying, let's see if Job will stay faithful when I'm not blessing him, shining my face on him. Job says, I'm going to stay faithful. And sometimes you won't see God. And sometimes you won't understand God. And you serve him anyway because you know who he is. And you just trust God. And so sometimes it's not punishment. And sometimes the face of God is not upon you. But that's not a lifetime. That's a time. That's a time in Job's life. Job was blessed before and after. But there's a time when it's just a trial and it's a test. I want to say this. In our lives, we're blessed because in the Old Testament, it's a little different. In the New Testament, we have different promises. And the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. God is never going to leave you nor forsake you. He might hide his face, but you understand he didn't leave you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he may hide his face. He may not be shining down upon you. And that might be because of your sin or whatever. And that's where I want to go. It is often simply God hides his face because of our sin. And I'm going to go to the major prophets here and go to Isaiah and read it in Isaiah, and then I'll read it in Ezekiel. And I want to read a few verses out of Ezekiel because Ezekiel deals with this kind of thoroughly. And Isaiah 59, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. And he will not hear. Pretty simple. God's not going to hear your prayers. Because your sin, he's hid his face from you. That's just what it says. What if godliness is way over here, and Christianity has drifted so far from God that those of you who feel like you're pretty good Christians are still way away from God, and you're separated from God because of your sin, and you think you're a pretty good Christian because you're not as bad. I mean, you're way better than the world. What if the standard's wrong? And what if you say, you know, God doesn't seem to really answer my prayers much, and God doesn't seem to be pleased with me, and I feel like I'm doing right. Maybe in some of our cases, because you and I, in our ministry of people, we'll talk to people, and I'll sit there in the house of the guy, and he's got a bong over here, and he's got his girlfriend sitting there, and his cigarettes sitting there, and 25 empty Budweiser's there, and said, you know, bad things have happened to me. I don't know why God does this. I'm a really good Christian. And they believe it. I'm going, I hate to see a bad Christian. But they don't even know it. Because they have no spiritual discernment. The Holy Spirit's not moving there, and they don't have, see their iniquity. And so, our iniquities, and most often in the Bible, it was our sin that made God hide his face from us. It's not real complicated. We did a bunch of bad things, and God said, gross. Well, I don't want to feel like I did something to make God look away from me. Okay, live in La La Land. But I know I've done things that made God look away from me and say, I'm not shining my face upon you. And I know that's not positive, but it's what the Bible says happens. Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. I'm going to put this whole sermon in my future book, How to Lose Friends and Infuriate People. Ezekiel 39 and verse 23, that'll work. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity because they trespassed against me. Therefore I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their enemies, so they all fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their trespasses have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Pretty simple. Again, I can read you a lot of verses that say this. I'm just not going to read all these verses. But you see, it really clearly says, it's often because we simply have sin. God hides his face. It's real simple. You're walking with the Lord, doing the right thing. God's blessing, and you feel his presence, and he's shining his face on you, and he's pleased with you. And then you go do something you shouldn't do, and you know you shouldn't do, and then all of a sudden, it feels like a cloud went over your spiritual life. And then what happens, sometimes it's sad, is the cloud stays there, and we get used to the cloud and thinks that's just normal. Then we just don't have the hand of God, and God's not blessing us, and God's not speaking, and God's not doing things. And we're just used to it and just think, well, you know, that's just, you know, God doesn't do that kind of stuff anymore. Did God change suddenly from when you were first a Christian and he was doing mighty things for you till now? God didn't change. I'm the Lord, I change not. We'll read that verse in a minute. But you get used to your iniquity. And it's such a strange conversation. Somebody says, I don't know why God doesn't bless me like he used to. I say, are you as good a Christian as you used to be? Well, no. Okay. Let's do a dot to dot. Are you ready? Because as many times, you know, we don't want to live in reality. Husband and wife are fighting. I don't know why he's so mad at me. If you had to guess, what would you say? Well, it's probably because I hit him in the head of the frying pan, but that's no reason to be mad at me. I mean, you usually know why when you're honest. And you usually know what's between you and God. So what's your best guess why God wouldn't be shining his face on you right now? Anybody want to tell us? I did. Because I get bitter at people. I want the face of God to shine upon me. I need God to bless me for a whole bunch of other people. And so before we get too complicated and say, why is this happening? Just take your best guess. And if nothing comes up, no problem at all. It might be just a test. But if all of a sudden you just say, Lord, search me and reveal to me, and if it's any wicked thing, many of us don't even need to pray that prayer. We say, God, I know exactly what's wrong. And if you want God's face to shine upon you, understand, God's too holy to behold iniquity. God just doesn't like to sit there and go, that's nasty. I mean, you and I look away at certain things, right? There's certain things we don't like. I get sick with gross enough, like, dislocated joints and things like that. Me and my friends were all so rough. I'll never forget. My friends get injured and they go, help me. And I go, say, help me. And because I couldn't deal with it. I didn't like when my friends would fall and their fingers would be sticking weird ways or they'd be gashed open and all these things. And God doesn't like to look at certain things. And so we realize that. So what do we do with this? Just a few things. repent and return. Let's look at Ezekiel 39. And let's continue this passage. We're at 23 and 24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now, it was verse 25, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob, and I will have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. And after that, they have borne their shame and their trespasses, whereby they have trespassed against me. They shall dwell safely in the land, and none shall make them afraid. When I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and sanctified them in my sight of many nations, they shall know that I am the Lord their God, and caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen. But I have gathered them into their own land, and have let none of them any more there. Neither will I hide my face from them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Really simply, there's hope. God said, I'm going to pour my spirit upon these people. I'm going to set them free. I'm going to do great things. We're going to forgive their sin and get their iniquity gone. God says, hey, I don't want to be looking away from you. I want to be shining my face upon you, but you got to get your iniquity right. And Israel's going to do that. They're going to turn back to God, and God's going to do all this for them. Look at Malachi. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. It's really simple. Repent and return to God. I love Malachi 3:7. It says, verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Verse 7, even from the days of your fathers are you gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Isn't that beautiful? Return unto me. God's not saying, you do this and I might think about it. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have said, wherein shall we return? We're not doing anything wrong. Remember that? They're saying, what do you mean return to you, God? We're not doing anything wrong. Remember, you could be doing something wrong. They're saying, why is our land devoured? Why is all of our things get eaten? I have no idea why. God said, return to me. And they said, how do we return to you? What are we doing? He says, you're robbing me in your tithes and offerings. See, God's face wasn't shining because of their sin. And so God revealed it to them. Well, a man robbed God, yet if he robbed me, where? And you say, why, how have we robbed you, God? And he says, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring the tithes here, and I'll pour out a blessing, he says at the end of the verse, that there shall be room enough to receive it. I'll rebuke the devourer, the one who's devouring your crops for your sakes, and he will not be able to destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed. Why? What do we have to do? How do we get God's face back on us? Return to me. Repent and return. And he'll bless you. I was talking to Brother Hernada. I said, Brother Hernada, in Haiti. I said, Brother Hernada, what do you tell people when they say, we go out these terrible, messed up cities in this nation, in these areas? I said, what do you tell people when they say, why is God doing this? Or why are these people suffering so much? He said, you know, I tell them, this nation's been worshiping Satan for centuries. And if this nation turns back to God, God's going to bless it. By the way, it's starting to happen. And Haiti's changing because they're turning to God. See, God wants to bless. God wants to shine his face upon you and upon me and upon Open Door and upon America. And he wants to do that. And God has shined his face upon this nation. But we have to repent and return. That's why before revival ever happens and God shines his face upon there, you have some group of people on their face before God saying, God, we are, they pray like Daniel. Oh, Father, we're so wicked. Lord, we've forsaken you and all this has happened because of who we've been. And Lord, I'm sorry and I confess the sins of us and this people and I'm not what I had to be. And those people are the people who have revival. Always those people on their face before God in humility. And those are Nehemiah's. And those are Ezra's. And you can follow them throughout the Bible. And you can follow them throughout history. And you can follow the people who brought revival. These people who are humbly beseeching God's face. By the way, you know what's really making something happen in Open Door right now? People on Wednesday night praying. God's answering their prayers. God's really starting to answer prayers. Why? Because his face is starting to shine down because people are praying. And God says, you just return and repent and do this thing. Number one, we said we repent and return. Number two, somebody needs to stir themselves up. Isaiah 64. Somebody, if we want to get God's face upon us again, somebody needs to stir themselves up. Remember, there's hope. Remember, God wants to turn his face. And all these places we'll read, so many of them, God says, if you'll do this or I'm going to do this, I'm going to bless again. It's not forever. I really am going to shine my face again when you do these things. Interesting verse. And in Isaiah 64, it's a kind of a fascinating, neat verse. It says, verse 7, and there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. He says, there's been nobody who will go and grab a hold of God and say, God, your face isn't upon us for us. Lord, we need you to shine your face upon us. Nobody will grab a hold of God and stir themselves up. What does that mean? Really simple. Nobody's willing to say, we're wicked and we got to fix this thing. Everyone wants to say, I'm good, you're good, we're all good. Rearrange the deck chairs. We're sinking, but you know what? I like water. And again, I'd rather just stand up and say, you know what? We got to do something here. We're in trouble. We're wicked. And not feel good about myself for a minute, because I know in a little while, if we'll do that, then the cloud's going to move away and the sun's going to shine again. And all of a sudden, everything will be bright again because God's face is upon us. And his count. But I'd rather not say, you know, it's kind of dark out there, but actually, I like dark. You like dark? Dark's nice. Isn't it nice that it's dark out here? It's not really dark. You know what? There's darker places. I was in a cave one time, and it was really, really dark. You know what? Let's just stay happy. It's really nice in here, out here, even though it is dark. You can do that and not stir yourself up. But I like what happens when revival breaks out. I like when the power of God comes. I like when all of a sudden they're saying, man, God is answering prayers. God is changing life. My family's getting saved. These things are happening. This is amazing. People are getting saved. The whole city's upside down. The whole world's been upside down. I like that. I'd rather feel bad for a moment to repent and just say, I don't have the blessing of God like I should, and then see the blessing of God come, and then not stir myself up and try to feel good. But if you want to feel good about yourself and stay in lights halfway out, you can do that. But somebody's got to stir themselves up, and we see that. Who did this in the Bible? How about a good example of that is 1 Samuel chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. It says an amazing phrase, and it's 1 Samuel 3. It says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the house of God," it said there is no open vision. God was not speaking to Israel. And the lamp of God is about to go out, which was the presence of God in that nation. It was about to go out, but one person stirred themselves up, named Hannah, one lady, and wept and prayed before God and fell on her face and said, God, I'll die if you don't give me a kid. I promise you this kid. And made vows to God and gave that child to God and got a hold of God. And right when the lamp of God is about to go out and the symbols of God's done with this nation, because God was not shining upon it, there was no open vision, God was not speaking to the nation, his countenance was turned away. God said, Samuel, Samuel. And the nation was saved because Hannah prayed and gave God a Samuel. Somebody stirred themselves up. Number one, repent and return. Number two, somebody needs to stir themselves up. Number three, we need to plead our cause to God. Let me take you to Psalm, and I'm just going to show you this. It won't take long. Because there's hope. And here's the neat thing, and this is what I want you to get, because it's really, really important you do this. Because what they did in the Bible. Because what they're going to do, because we didn't read the whole passage, Psalm 69, we'll start there. Because what they're going to do is they're going to do what we said. That's kind of shocking the way they say that. They're going to come to God and say, Lord, this is a mess. And they're going to present their case to God. They're going to say, God, here's why you ought to do this. And they're going to plead with God. See, real prayer in the Bible is not just, Lord, bless this and help this. They present a case in the Bible when they pray. They say, Lord, do this because of this, and if this doesn't happen, this will happen. And Lord, your name will be blasphemed, and this would happen. And Look how Moses presents a case to God. In Exodus 32 and other chapters, he really presents why God ought to do something. And the psalmist, when they're saying, your face is turned away from us, they're going to say, Lord, here's why you ought to do this. And they're going to plead their cause. Please, God, do this because of this. And so come to God and say, Lord, I need your blessing because you know what? My family's not saved. Or God, I need your blessing because I got to reach this person. Or Lord, I need you to shine your face on me because Lord, I just hate it when we're not close. But come to God and tell him and talk to him, plead your cause before him. Psalm 69. And verse 17, and hide not thy face from my servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. And we can just read, I don't choose what to read here. 22, let their table become a snare before them that would have been for their welfare. Let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them. For verse 26, they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity. Let their name be blotted out of the book of the living. But I am poor and sorrowful. Verse 29, let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I will make offerings. Watch this. Lord, what will happen? Verse 32, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Remember who you are, God? Let the heaven and earth praise him. So he's pleading his cause and telling God why to do this. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. I want to say this. In the Psalms where they're saying, why are you hiding your face, O God? Almost always they say at the end, God, if you will do this, I'll praise you. I will praise you. Lord, why should I be miserable? Why should I just be like a dead person? Lord, if you'll do this, the people are going to see what you do and give you glory and see that you're the living God. And I will praise you and tell people what you did and how great you are. And we can read back of stories of revival today and say, look what God did in the 1740s. Look what God did in the 1860s. Look what God did in the 1890s. Look what God did with Luther. And look what God did. And look at the revival God brought here. We can look at that and say, it's amazing. And tell God that. Lord, wouldn't you like people to talk about revival again? People are doubting your power. Wouldn't you like to see people saying God can still bring revival and his arm is not short? Plead with God. Give him a case. Tell him why and what ought to happen. And then promise to praise him for doing it. Let's look at Psalm 13. They don't forget that God is good, but they say, Lord, you're hiding your face. They aren't angry and bitter at God, but they're pleading and explaining that they don't see God. Psalm 13, verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? You feel like God forgotten you? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long should I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart? It's called talking to yourself. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord God. Light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. That's his argument. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. See the pattern? Same pattern. Lord, here's why you ought to do it. You're still a good God. I'll praise you when you do it. And many other psalms we could read. Let's do one more. Psalm 43. Does the same thing as Psalm 77 and others. But Psalm 43. Bare your heart to God. Tell him how you feel. Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and please my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go to the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, my God. And he says, I'm down, but I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. So there's hope here. But you got to praise God and promise to praise him, plead your cause, and you got to really be honest. Now, you might not be living in blatant open sin, and we're all not perfect. You might just be getting through a test. But understand, I want to say this, God is a God who should be answering our prayers, who should be doing great things, who should be working through us. But sometimes his countenance isn't shining upon us. And if it's not, maybe we're going through a testing. We should look at ourselves and analyze ourselves and say, is there anything between me and God? And say, Lord, I don't deserve this, but I need you to shine your face. Lord, I'm not even strong enough to quit this sin, God, but you know that, and you know who I am. And Lord, I pray you'd shine your face, because if you would shine your face upon me, I'd have the strength to overcome this sin. Bring a case to God. Plead with him and promise to praise him, and don't get bitter against God. Don't think he's changed and weak and cannot do things, but realize the face of God, you're surrounded by where God doesn't want to look. Can I just tell you, honestly, when you go to a country that's having God do great things, they're all walking around talking about God working everywhere. And you start having God do great things. I would like to have the power I have on some foreign fields and bottle it and bring it back to America. But it's not me. God's face is shining on that group of people. And so we're at a disadvantage here. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. God's able to bring revival right here on Pack Highway in Seattle. But we've got to get serious, because the face of God will melt the ice. God's power is still great. The greatest revivals happen in the darkest hours. And that's just us and saying, God, your face is not shining upon me. God bless thee and help and keep thee and cause his face to shine upon thee and lift up his countenance unto thee. Instead of, God, why are you hiding your face from me? So if you're in trial, praise God. Lord, I'm gonna make it through this. I don't know what I'm doing. It must be just a trial. Or if there's something between you and God, come and confess it to him, realizing that God's going to shine his face upon you because he's merciful. And he loves you. And he wants to smile at you. And wants to bless you and wants to use you. Let's pray. And Father, there's a lot in there, hiding your face from us and casting us off and all these things. We know you never leave us or forsake us. And Lord, whatever you had for each one of us, however you spoke to each one of us, I pray we'd be honest and wanting to see great things. And Lord, this sermon, I don't know if it came across that way, but it's not a negative sermon. And I pray we'd understand, Lord, that it's God wants to shine his face on us, and when he shines his face, it's wonderful. But we've got to get you to shine, Father, and not sit there in darkness and pretend it's okay there. Father, please help us, and please, whatever you need to do with this message, may we not leave depressed and sad and hopeless, but hopeful, realizing God still wants to bless me just like he did before. God still can shine and glow upon me. Help us to have that heart. Help us to have that mind. Help us to realize that in all these cases, you said, I can bless you, and just return to me and I'll return to you. Please, Lord, all these truths, Lord, there's a lot of them in there, a lot we talked about tonight, a lot of verses. Help us just be honest and just tell you what we feel and plead with you for your blessing again. Please, Lord, whatever we need to do, may we do it in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.